This is your station, 88.9 KETR. My name is Jared Knight, and I'm joined on this Thursday morning, as I am each and every Thursday morning, by Mr. Bob Akin. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, that is good news. Great to hear.
Well, obviously, you had just a wonderful time in the Big Apple.
Well, I did. It was great. It was a long way away, but I felt right at home amongst other folks from here in Commerce. We had a big group up there. We had a lot of students. We had a lot of faculty.
There is quite a group of Commerce expats.
Yes, exactly. It was well worth it, and it was a neat show at Carnegie Hall. And so it was a good time. A good time was had by all.
Good. And they sounded fine.
Sure. They sounded great.
Yeah.
If you heard. Played Carnegie Hall. They don't let you just walk in there.
When you play Carnegie Hall.
Where do you go from there?
The only thing I can say, that's almost what could have been said the morning after Super Tuesday.
Oh, yeah?
Without regard, there is something that we should always bear in mind.
Okay.
The more things change, the more they remain the same. Who said that? We'll look that one up.
Okay.
But it is worth pointing out that several days before Super Tuesday, in the light of who's running for the U.S. Senate and who's not, and the deflated ambitions of Mitch McConnell to be majority leader, as well as some even more discouraging polling data, two of the leading Republican pundits, the sober, solemn, and incisive George Will, no matter what Donald Trump thinks, and Eric Erickson, whose demeanor is somewhat more on the side of a blowtorch who runs the redstate.com site.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them decided it was time to throw in the towel, that none of these clowns jump out of the clown cars, form circular firing squads. You know, you pick your metaphor.
Right, right.
That it didn't make any difference which one winds up being nominated. It's hopeless. Well, there's some reason for it. It's not just the fact that nationwide polls show that the longer these guys campaign, the worse all of them are, and the more Obama is inflated. Well, as the purple states go blue, I think it's something that, again, both Will and Erickson, both in their columns, picked up on and said, why? Well, they can't seem to concentrate on what they think are their issues because they don't really work too well anymore.
Right.
Hey, the economy's apparently going up, not just GM. Oh, by the way, did you notice Osama bin Laden's still dead? So, therefore, when Republican candidates turn to what had been surefire wedge issues that always work, they've turned around on them. This past week, I believe it was Pew, had, for the first time since they've polled the issue going back into the 90s, a majority, and not just 1 point. It was about a pretty solid 5 or 6 point majority nationwide favored gay marriage as be opposed. Arguably, that issue reelected Bush in 2004 by getting a huge turnout of fundamentalist voters who were voting Republican, but who might not have voted to go vote for a gay marriage ban in Ohio. Hey, dare you to put that on the ballot in several swing states this year. It'll pass, and guess who comes out to vote for it? It's really kind of funny because people were shocked at, say, the language used and the argument used and the performance art of one Rush Limbaugh, who is, at last glance, has lost 10, 12, many advertisers and stations are starting to fall off.
Sure.
It's interesting because his core constituency, angry white men, because, well, about 10% of the population are divorced white men, and many of them with real issues, and overwhelmingly are Limbaugh listeners, particularly the ones who are traveling salesmen, other guys who work outside the workplace. Just like their ex-wives tend to be big Democrats.
Hmm.
And it's one of the least known polarities or least explored polarities in American politics. But when you look at just exactly what angry white men, including Limbaugh, have done. They turn off, let's just look at two blocks of essential voters.
Okay.
Suburban women who were carried narrowly by Obama 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers now nationwide, and they tend to be concentrated in swing states. Suburban women without regard to party affiliation, self-identified mm-hmm. party affiliation. This was a voting block, or I'm not sure it's a block, it's a demographic category,
mm-hmm.
that Obama won like 50-48 4 years ago. The numbers now are closer to 60-40.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep talking about trying to make inroads into Hispanic voters. Well, this year, about 10% of the vote nationwide will be Hispanic. 4 years ago, Obama won that group about 2-1. Roughly 60-something to 30-something.
Right.
The numbers now against all four Republican candidates are like 70 to 14, 70 to 12. I would submit to you that that's enough to make even George Will and Eric Erickson toss in the towel. Now, right now, the main thing that the Obama team would like to have, let's get the election over next week. There's a lot of things that can go wrong, but right now, the numbers, in large part, it's not just the fact the economy's starting to noticeably turn up or that anything else. Oh, by the way, did you notice Bin Laden still did? It's the fact that the exposure to the Republican candidates keeps driving Obama's numbers up
mm-hmm.
and theirs down. So that's for right now. You know, let's just leave it there. But a lot of things can change over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. But as it stands now, it is a great day to be a Democrat. And as Will and Erickson would put it, we can always try to hold the House.
Mr. Aiken, we thank you so much for joining us.
We'll do it again.
All right. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.